and welcome to the Daily Dits podcast. It's Monday, the 8th of June. I'm Lauren Mitchell, and the Daily Dits is your daily slice of Forces life, a peek behind the curtain, if you will, at what our armed forces are up to all around the Forces world. And on today's episode, we're shining a little bit of a spotlight on something we call SITREP. Now, if you're not sure what SITREP is, then don't worry, we're going to be telling you all about it. And to chat with us today, it's Mr. James Hurst. Hi, James.
Hi, Lauren. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good for a Monday. Yeah, getting there. Got my coffee, so all good.
Definitely helpful. So, James, in like the nicest way possible, who are you?
So, I am the editor of SITREP, which means, I mean, we're a small team, so everybody does a bit of everything, but ultimately I guess I'm responsible for it going right or it going wrong. But I mean, I've worked at BFBS for since 2004 on and off, so over 20 years, and I've done the radio news bulletins, I've been a reporter, I've been a presenter, I still sometimes get to present SITREP, so yeah, a bit of everything.
Bit of everything. I've noticed that a lot about BFBS staff. We've all got lots of skills in our arsenal.
Multi-skills,
yeah. So could you just tell me a little bit about what SITREP is for those that might not have any idea at all?
So SITREP is, it started out as a radio program. It is now a radio program and podcast. It's now even a podcast you can watch as of this week. We've got into vision on YouTube. But the mission statement, I think, probably explains it best. It is Defence Explained. And what I try to get my head around each week while I'm planning SITREP is what's important, what's on people's minds, and what can we add to what they might be seeing or hearing elsewhere. And the other two absolutely key figures, more important than me in SITREP, are Kate Chabot, who has been hosting SITREP since 2010, and Professor Michael Clark, who I informally describe as the explainer in chief. Now, Mike is just so well known in the world of defence analysis. This is someone who's longest serving advisor to the House of Commons Defence Committee. He's been at King's College London. He's run the Royal United Services Institute think tank. Yeah, this is a man who's been called in by prime ministers who want his advice. So he is absolutely central to that mission of taking a topic and explaining it and kind of pointing us to the things that we might have missed.
What I think is really interesting about SITREP is the fact that it's a platform, it's a great platform for trusted news and information. Like, there is no clickbait when it comes to SITREP. It is pure 100% taken straight from the horse's mouth, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we try as much as well to get people on who are living it or who have lived it. And I want to hear a range of views as well. You know, ultimately, it's not about handing people sometimes it's explaining a set of facts. Sometimes it's explaining how some things work. Sometimes we're trying to say, look, this is what we think this means. And I don't want to give people the answer. I don't want our team to give people the answer. I want to give them the information that helps them come up with their best answer and best equips people. I like to show our workings. I think that's really important.
Like, show our workings, like a maths test.
Exactly, like a maths test, yeah.
So what is the latest episode about, James?
So this week, it's about the defence investment plan. Now, I freely admit I am a bit of a nerd, a lot of a nerd, and a lot of this stuff I think can seem quite dry to people, but it's the defence investment plan is really important. This is about how the government comes up with the money to reshape the armed forces for the future. They set out a year ago in the defence review kind of the broad principles of what they want to do. This is going to be the detail. And so this really matters to the armed forces. It's about what equipment they're going to have. It's going to be what demands are made of them for their job. And we've been expecting it for ages. It's been delayed since last autumn. You might have seen there in the last few days, there have been in the weekend papers, lots of headlines saying it's on the way, it's coming. And what I wanted to do with this was kind of go, okay, it's going to be a complicated thing. What do people actually need to look for? How, let's give people a bit of a primer for understanding it when it arrives.
So who was it that you were talking to about the Defence Investment Plan?
So one of the guests we had on the programme is a guy called Matthew Saville. Now, Matthew's lived it, not in uniform, but he's now at the RUSI think tank, but he used to be a very senior policy advisor at the Ministry of Defence. So he really understands it. But again, I come back to my lodestone, Professor Michael Clark. And as we started the programme, you know, because we've been saying for ages, oh, it's we think it's coming. Is it coming? Is it coming? And this is one of the reasons I love Mike. He just pulls out absolute gems like this one. So we started the programme saying, is it going to be in the next few weeks? The Prime Minister's promised it's going to be before the NATO summit in July. And Mike gave us this banger.
This defence investment plan has been coming out next week for several weeks. Every week it's next week. But it looks now as if it may well be next week, if for no other reason that the Japanese Prime Minister is in London, Mrs. Takahashi. All the information is that the Japanese have been very annoyed with Britain over the Global Combat Air Programme, GCAP, which is the new sixth generation aircraft being procured jointly with Britain, Japan and Italy. And the Japanese have been very tough on this. They've been very annoyed that Britain has not put in the commitment, the financial commitment, early enough, and that the programme has been stuttering in the next phase. And the information from Tokyo is that they're not interested in any stopgap announcements or short-term announcements. They wanted a complete programme to take the whole thing forward properly in the way that was originally planned. And it was said that the Japanese Prime Minister would not be coming to Britain if that commitment was not made. And she is coming. And so I think we will finally see the Defence Investment Plan.
That is a very interesting piece of information. Thank you for bringing us up to date on that, Mike. I don't want to disappear down a rabbit hole of focusing on money, but can we run the numbers quickly? Because they're important for the context. The reported gap between the total of the original shopping list and the budget is £28 billion. The Chancellor has reportedly offered an extra £15 billion, so potentially covering just over half the gap. That's across 4 years. In the context of an annual defence budget of £60 billion, that looks like a 5-6% shortfall. That's the boss's maths, Mike, not mine. Do those numbers match your understanding, though?
Yes, generally. I mean, if the gap is £28 billion between now and 2030, then you'd be looking at something like a 10 or 11% increase in defence expenditure to make up that gap in the next 4 years. And this looks like something like a 6% increase. So it's maybe halfway there to what would be required. And in general, I mean, if we're talking about a 12 billion settlement, which is what the Treasury initially offered, then we are definitely talking about cuts. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about an 18 billion settlement, which is more than the Treasury may be offering, we're talking about deferrals and delays. And if it's 15 billion, if that's the figure that turns out to be the real figure next week, then it's a mixture of cuts and deferrals and delays. And we still won't get to 2030 in good shape.
Hearing those numbers, like 15 billion pounds, it baffles my brain a little bit, because it's just like, for me, it's like an unfathomable amount of money.
Yeah.
Yet, how is that going to stretch across so many years for defence? I wouldn't want to be the person with the calculator, that's for sure.
No, exactly. But I think there's three key points there. It comes back to that idea, what to look for. So you kind of distill it down, and it's kind of like, so I know when that document drops what I'm going to look for, and my first snap analysis of that money. And, you know, most people don't need to understand that level of detail, but some people like me really enjoy digging into it.
Well, I guess it's this idea of budget cuts and if those budget cuts are going to affect
exactly.
individuals, and whether it's going to affect them straight away and their line of
exactly.
work.
Exactly. A lot of the things we talked about are kind of like, well, you know, what new equipment here and there. But Matthew and Mike were both very clear. It's kind of like we need to look at how much money is used in this to support the armed forces as they are now doing the job they've got, because things like maintenance have been delayed and what have you. You know, one of the things we're going to be looking for is, do they delay repairs and upgrades to accommodation? It all ultimately filters down to the pointy end.
And all we want to know is when this defence investment plan is going to be released.
Yeah, I mean, next few weeks, I'm still not going to guarantee it's going to be this week, but watch this space. And as soon as it does, you know, we will be combing through it and again getting a team together to come along and explain what it all means and how it's going to filter down to the pointy end to the people who live and breathe it every day.
And like I said earlier on, if you want a platform for like trusted defence information and analysis, then SITREP is the one for you. But I've got to ask, James, because you've been doing SITREP for quite a while. I don't want to show your age
quite
there,
a
my
few
love.
Years.
but what is like, what's one of the weirdest SITREP stories you've had?
I mean, but the most fun I've had with SITREP was getting AI to do the introduction to the program with Kate and Mike's voices, and I didn't tell them it was happening, so that made them laugh. I mean, you've got stories like there's all sorts of weird stories. I mean, we were doing a program about tensions on the Korean Peninsula. You know, technically North and South Korea are still at war. A couple of years ago, where you had North Korea sending balloons loaded with rubbish and manure over the border, and in return, South Korea were blaring K-pop.
That sounds like children at war.
I titled the program War of the Playground. But when you looked at it, it's actually quite serious behind it. But it's just like, what on earth is going on in this world?
It does kind of remind me of a little bit like, well, you're not invited to my birthday party. Like, that was the threat that you gave when you were a kid. When you wanted someone to stop annoying you or upsetting you, you're not coming to my birthday party.
If you carry on throwing manure at me.
Oh my goodness me. And you've taken SITREP on the road before as well, haven't you? Which is quite exciting.
Yeah, we're trying to do this more. I mean, Mike and I and Simon Newton went to the Munich Security Conference. Claire Sadler did a special edition SITREP from Shape HQ, the NATO HQ at Mons, with the most senior British officer, Deputy Supreme Allied Commander. A couple of weeks ago, I was at the National Memorial Arboretum, sat down with some veterans there marking the 15th anniversary, I think it was, of the end of Operation Telic. So we try and get out and about as well. I mean, normally we're all, as you and I are today, we're in different countries. We are all spread around the UK, but the joy of the internet is we can come together and we can get the best guests from everywhere. But yeah, it's nice to get it out and about on the road as often as possible, and we're trying to do that more often.
Well, I guess it gets you out the office as well, doesn't it?
which I think my colleagues appreciate as well.
So, James, where can people find SITREP?
So, the radio programme is at 6:30 UK time on BFBS, the Forces Station, every Thursday. SITREP, the radio programme, is always shorter than the podcast. You can find it simply by searching BFBS SITREP wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us, as I say, on YouTube. Look at the BFBS Forces News YouTube channel or the dedicated page on the BFBS website, bfbs.com/sitrep. One other thing I'll say is, as well as people finding us to listen, I really want to hear from people. I want to know what questions they have, what thoughts they have, and we're trying to feed those into the programme more as well, because I think it's really important. As I say, I want those voices, and, you know, if it matters to you, I want to be able to do our best to explain it
Wonderful. Well, James, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. It's been so nice. It's like two podcasts colliding. It's been wonderful. Yeah.
It's a collab.
It's a collab. I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us, James.
Thanks, Lauren.
And what else is going on in BFBS? Well, do you like your gaming? We're doing a three-way collab now because we're now plugging the BFBS esports podcast, The Lobby. You can get the latest updates on the BFBS Pro League and general gaming chatter. And I'll tell you something, as somebody who has absolutely no idea about gaming, Danny, Jonah and Psycho always have me howling. If you want to get in on this action, BFBS Pro League, The Lobby, listen on the BFBS app or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of Daily Dits. I've been Lauren Mitchell, and I'll see you tomorrow. BFBS.